Of shape my life for all my life. So I'm going to ask the Lord, because we don't have much time. I need to get on this thing real quick. So let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. And God, I thank you that today we've got people that are listening, but they're bringing it down deep, Lord, by the Holy Spirit into their life. And God, it will transform their life, change their life like nothing else, Father. We will not leave this building today and say, I don't remember what was said, because, God, this can transform us, change us, and transition us like never before. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I want to share a biblical supernatural revelation and principle with you. Like I said, this message really has influenced and shaped my life, my family's life, and my ministry, my church's life for 33 years. It's been something that I've lived in, lived on, lived about. It's become a part of me, and as a result, it's giving me this tremendous victory in my life. How many of you are looking for victory in your life, in every part of your life? Well, you know, here's the question. How would you like to be blessed, supernaturally blessed, in your finances, your health, relationships, your emotions, have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Victory over the world, victory over your flesh, and victory over the devil. You interested? Now listen to me. Let me say it again. Something that I have applied in my life for years and years and years, and what I'm telling you works. If you'll catch the revelation, this will work for you all the days of your life. And everyone that you come in contact who have or you have influence over, it'll work in their life. This is powerful. Well, the secret of living this type of life is the supernatural power of the blessing. And we hear a lot about living the blessed life, you know, how to be, you know, the blessings of God and all this. But I not only want to live a blessed life, I want to be the blessed life. Can I get an amen? Really, it's a Bible mystery that has been lost to the Christian church for 2,000 years. They've lost it, and something Jewish people have practiced from the times of Abraham. From generation and generation, Jewish people know something about the blessing. You know, we may sneeze. I did, and someone said yesterday, God bless you. You know, we really don't know what we're saying or when we use the word blessed, but there's something supernatural about being blessed by God and walking in the blessings of God. You know, I love the Bible. It has so many practical applications for our lives that can help you, and you can apply it to your life in any area. Maybe it's your health, maybe a diet, like get on the Daniel diet, or the principle, supernatural principle of rest, or stress, or the principle on how to manage your money, marriage, family, dating, really a lot of instructions, practical applications, parables, teachings. I mean, they're incredible. You can apply these in every area of life, the Word of God. But the thing that I want to see is something that's supernatural. There are elements to the personality of God that are not just practical. And we try to teach you all the things that are practical, but there is a side of God that's not just practical. Now, let me say it again, but it's supernatural. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I want to live a supernatural life. And I think sometimes we get so involved in church, we lose the atmosphere of the presence of God. And when the sister was singing the song, I don't want to sing about you in this room, wherever how that verse went, and not be singing to you. That I'm just singing a song, but then worship would go to a whole other level and dimension. I feel the Holy Ghost about right now. Yes. Supernatural principles, I call them interventions of God in your life. Unexplainable events as a reason of your faith when you believe God for something. You ever done that? You ever been there? So why do we need supernatural interventions of the power of God in our life? Because we face an enemy that has supernatural abilities. The devil, the enemy, his darkness, his demons have supernatural ability. So you can't fight fire with fire if you don't have the fire of God in your life. Come on. In Ephesians 6:12 said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against power and principality, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, last fall we thought we would do a series on supernatural warfare. And boy, all hell broke loose. We didn't fast enough, obviously, I don't know, or pray enough, but we jumped into this arena. Man, bad things started happening simply because we started entering into the place where the enemy works. And you can't ever forget the fact of the matter is there is an enemy who's out to destroy you, so you need some supernatural resistance from the enemy, and that is the power of God working in our lives. Come on, somebody. Spiritual weakness. He wants to corrupt everything in this world, corrupt everything in the church, cause all this total confusion of what really God wants us to live and how God wants us to live. He uses supernatural abilities and power. He said he's in high places. Remember when Daniel prayed, it took 3 weeks for the answer of prayer to come? That's because it was hindered. Who hindered it? They had to send the archangel Michael to fight against the prince of Persia because of this demon spirit that tried to stop the prayer to be answered. And this is what the angel said. We heard it the very first day you prayed it. You're praying something, some of you praying about something right now, and you say, hey, where's the answer? Well, it's coming. But there's got to be a breakthrough. Come on, somebody. When the four principles and the five steps and the seven keys and to read this book does not work, we need the supernatural power of God. The events in our life needs to touch in the power of God. Come on, somebody. We need to learn how to release our faith. My whole life is about living by faith. And sometimes I hadn't had too much faith, but I had enough faith. The Bible says all you need is a seed of a mustard seed, and you would a faith of a seed of a mustard seed, and that's all you need. I need God's help in my life. I want to talk to you about the blessing today, the blessing more than just saying it and talking about it, and the power and purpose behind it. I prayed a prayer blessing over my congregation, or I did. Now my son Star will pray it today. Over my congregation, every week we meet together. I release the supernatural power of the blessings of God. So what is it to be blessed by God and live under God's favor? What is it? I want to give you a little biblical background and kind of build a little foundation. So when you leave today, you will never again think that God is not on your side. Come on, somebody. In your life notes in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Have I prayed? Yeah, I prayed once. That's good. Hey, when we get 66 years old, look at somebody and say, I can't believe that brother's 66. Tell somebody that. No, don't say it like that. You say, he looks like about 76. But you know what? I'm going to tell you. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, listen what it says. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Wow, that's huge. Oh, that you would watch. Choose life that you and your descendants might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. Then you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you notice that the ball is in your court? on everything that you do with God, if you choose, if you make up your mind, if you decide that is what I'm going to do, then he says, I tell you what, the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to follow you all the days of your life. You're going to live on the blessing of your ancestors. The blessing, what is it? What is it? It's the importation of the supernatural power and favor of God into a human's life, spoken over them by the word of God's delegated authority. That's big. That's a mouthful of words right there. My daughter would say, Daddy, you're so lucky. My daughter Mary Jane would say that to me. No, I'm not lucky. Yeah, can I have some water, please? I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Let me just tell you how it works. This is so simple, it's almost stupid. Is there a Piccadilly in this city? Is there a Piccadilly? Okay. I'm going through the Piccadilly line, and I tell people, watch this. Watch this. I'll take some fried fish. Well, they will search in that pan and give me the two biggest pieces of fish. You know why? I'm just blessed. I walk through that line, they give me twice as much, they load my plate up, and I'm telling you, I am blessed. And I walk to my table, and I think to myself, and I have people walk along, I said, with me through Piccadilly line, I said, watch this. Now just watch what's going to happen. That's a little small thing, but all through my life, you say, you are boasting. Yeah, I am, you know, because my life has been blessed. Not say I don't have problems, I have to face challenges and struggles, but I have been blessed and I know the power of the blessing. Let me share this message so you can receive the message and practice the message in your life. Let me give the history of the blessing and kind of give you the heart of God. The first thing God did after he created Adam and Eve, the Bible says, and he blessed them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. The very first thing, this shows you the heart of God. He blessed them. In other words, he released a supernatural favor and power and blessing into their life. He spoke it over to them. And then they began to increase and multiply the earth. The second blessing in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 12. He said unto Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you. Genesis 12:12. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. God instructed Moses to bless the children of Israel. Now think about it. We're talking about something that's said over you that's supernatural when you receive it. Watch what he says. Then the Lord said to Moses, instruct Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. This is how Aaron and his sons were designated, the Israelites, as my people and, listen, myself. You ever wonder why Jewish people are so blessed? Have you ever wondered? You will never, ever see a Jewish person in poverty. They're blessed by God. They understand. Jesus Christ began his public ministry with 9 blessings. Watch this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Watch this. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Come on. Blessed are the merciful. They will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. 9 powerful blessings that shape the life and destiny of those who participate in them. Think about this. The first thing God does, the Father, is bless. The first thing that Jesus does, he blesses and begins to shape the destiny of people, the Beatitudes we call them. In the middle of a teaching one time, Jesus stopped And he blessed the children. You know, children just make noise, you know. Jesus was preaching and they were making noise and causing all kind of confusion. And the disciple was saying, man, get these kids out of the room. Now, I'm thanking God for children's church right now, even though they're getting a great word over there. But it's just the way it is. And we're just that way, you know. And Jesus says, no, 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 bring those kids to me. And this is what the Bible says. Then he took the children into his arms, placed his hands on their heads, placed his hands on their heads, and he released the power of the blessing into those children. Come on, Jesus. The first and last thing he did was to impart the blessing. The last thing he did, watch this. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into the heavens. First thing Jesus did was to bless. The last thing, this is important. If we were talking, the Bible's talking about this a lot, then there's a reason for it. First thing he does is bless. Come on, the last thing he does is bless. The first thing that God does is bless. In the creation of the world, God's a blesser. Come on. If you'll read the epistles, every epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote, he understood the power of the blessing, and he began every epistle with the blessing of God. Let God bless you. The Roman people may bless you. The Galatians, may you be blessed. He started everything with a blessing because he understood. He began every book with a divine blessing. There's something to it. Watch this. Jesus had 12 disciples. He told them that they were going to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And at this point in time, they were not. They were filled with all kinds of moral imperfections and unbelief. Peter would even deny Jesus and try to kill somebody. You say, yeah, would he cut his ear off? I promise you, he wasn't going for his ear. The guy just moved like Muhammad Ali. But listen what happened. They're full of all this unbelief and imperfections, but they did become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And this is the point. They rose to the level of the blessing. Jesus shaped their destiny with the power of the blessing. Are you hearing me? Parents, are you getting this? You can shape your children's destiny by the words you say. Wow. Every father, you are the spiritual authority of your home. With the spoken blessing over your children, you can literally control their destiny and shape their future. I'm preaching right now. This is good stuff. You take charge over it. The moment you begin to speak the blessing over them, let me tell you what you release. Protection, prosperity, health, the anointing of God, the angels of God to guard around them. You take charge over their physical and spiritual and emotional blessing in life. When my kids were little, I laid hands on them every night before they went to bed, and I prayed the blessing of God over them. Let me tell you what I could do. I could take my hand and put it on the floor, and my little kids would walk, crawl over and put their head in my hand so I could bless them. They came to me every night to get the blessing. If I held my hand up like this, they would get a chair. I'm not lying to you. And they would stand in a chair so I could put my hand on their head and bless them. When my children got married, my oldest son, Big Buck, when Big Buck got married first, I brought him in the bedroom. I said, close the door. And I laid a blessing on him, come on, that has followed him all the days of his life. When my second son, Star, who's now pastor of Fellowship Church, was getting the day he got married, we were going to the church, back into the bedroom, closed the door, laid hands on his head, and blessed him, and they have followed him all the days of his life. When my beautiful daughter, Mary Jane, got married, we were in the church in Clinton, when we were in Clinton, and in the hallway, someone snapped a picture. They thought we were just praying, but I was praying over her, the power of the blessing of her life, and the blessings of God have followed them all the days of their life. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, this is powerful. This is something that works. This is something that can shape your life if you get this into your life. Jewish parents have used the principle of the blessing of Abraham, since Abraham until now. On the Sabbath, They bless the name of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When they meet on Saturdays for them, they bless and receive the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At 13 years old, the boys have something called bar mitzvah, and the girls is called bat mitzvah. The parents at 13 years old stand before the congregation on, on their Sabbath day, and they bless their children in front of all the people. Why? They go all the way back to Abraham's blessing and how God instructed him. And I'm telling you, their children, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people are blessed. Come on, somebody. Good Lord, I'm running out of time. Let me hurry. When Jacob was, listen, dying, he gathered his 12 sons together around his bed and blessed them. And if you'll follow the lives of all 12 of his children, every one of them lived out exactly what he said over them. I'm talking about something that's powerful. One of the greatest revivals in America happened back about 15, 20 years ago in Pensacola, Florida, called the Pensacola Blessing. And listen, the pastor of the church contributed three things to this huge revival where people from all over the world came. Steve Hill was the one that preached it, and it was fantastic 7 days a week. It was persistent prayer, weekly communion, and the prayer of blessing brought that revival. Powerful. We just celebrated one of the greatest events in history of man, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the blessing of Calvary. You might not even know this. Listen to this. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. Watch, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it's written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. Did you really get that downloaded in you, what I just said, what the Word of God just said? He became the curse when he hung on the cross. Through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed, watch, the Gentiles, that's us, with the same blessing, watch, he promised to Abraham, and we Christians receive the promise, Holy Spirit, through faith. Jesus became the curse so we could be blessed. Not just about Easter. In the Bible, the right hand of blessing, when you would lay hands on someone, you would always lay your right hand on them to get the better blessing. In the Bible, it teaches that the greater blessing came from the right hand. The left hand was the lesser blessing. Jesus is seated now at the right hand of the Father, the place of blessing. When Jacob, watch this, blessed his grandchildren, Joseph's children, he brought his children to him. And his right hand, remember, was the greater blessing. When Joseph brought his children, Jacob switched hands. He didn't put the right hand on Manasseh. He put the left hand on his younger brother. And Joseph tried to stop him. He said, like, kind of like this, to be paraphrased. Daddy, wait a minute. You don't know what you're doing. You're giving the greater blessing to the second born. You're supposed to be giving the greater blessing to the firstborn. Jacob said, I know what I'm doing. This was the foreshadowing of the cross of Christ. Christ was the firstborn of God, the Father. He deserved the right hand of blessing, right? The greater blessing, but he didn't get it. He did not get it. At the cross, remember when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't forsaking. This is what God was saying. I have put my right hand on the blessing of the people now, the Gentile people, people that were no people, were outside the covenant of Abraham, strangers who had no right to come to the throne of grace. Today, I'm giving them life everlasting, upon them the hand of life instead of the hand of death. I'm putting the hand of death on you. I'm giving them health and healing. Jesus, I'm giving you stripes on your back. I'm giving them mercy. I'm giving you judgment, Jesus. Come on, listen to me carefully. I'm talking about resurrection power here. From that moment on, every Gentile on the face of the earth can say, I am the seed of Abraham, and I'm going back 6,000 years, and I'm receiving and walking in the blessing, every blessing that God gave Abraham. Abraham, come on. It's because of the cross of Calvary we've got the blessing. Hot dog it. I am the seed of Abraham. You want to know something about God? Just look at his name. Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Nishi, he's my banner. Rohi, my shepherd. Rapha, he's my healer. Kadesh, he's my righteousness, my holiness. He's Shalom, he's my peace. If you want to see what God's about, that's what God's about. And that's what we have. There was a king named Balak, and the armies of Israel congregated in a valley to do war against him. He saw him and he said, "Good Lord, I can't beat these people." I just want to tell you something. We're bad. Christians are bad. We don't know how tough we are and strong we are. The enemy saw the armies of God. He said, "Man, I need help." So he hires this guy, Balaam, who used to follow God, and he had backslid, and he began to use sorcery and witchcraft to use his power against people. So Balak, he saw this. He says, "You know what? I'm going to have Balaam go curse the people of God." So he sent this entourage to Balaam, and he says, "Look, here's an offer. We're going to give you this if you'll go curse the children of Israel." And then he said, Balaam said, "Okay, well, I'll do that." Then the Lord spoke to him, "Don't you do that." Well, he sent another one. He said, "I'm going to make him a better deal." So Balak sent more people. And then you know this story. It's a Sunday school story. Until a donkey had to talk to him and say, "Don't do it." But when he got to the place to curse the armies of Israel, the Bible says he blessed them. He didn't curse them. And when he got back, Balaam said, "I paid you. What did you do that for?" And he says, "Let me tell you something. I can't curse what God has blessed." I used to work on at a radio station, a Christian radio station, 5 years. I was pastoring at the same time. From 11 to 3, I played music. I prayed for people. We had something called the Housewives March to Victory. I'm not even going there. But I used to have witches that would call me on the telephone. And they would try to put curses on me on the phone at the radio station. I had one, you know, a lot of these coven, these witches covens, there are many, many of them are lesbians. That's just a thought. I mean, that's true, but that's just something that most people don't know. Because I've had them call me and they try to get out of that group of people. Well, they'd call me at night sometimes. And they'd say, 3 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. And they'd say, "I'm cursing you. I'm cursing your family." This is on the telephone. "I'm dragging your kids' dead bodies." This is just what they said. "Through the wet dew of the ground, grass." I say, "You lying devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and don't call me back because I want to get some more good sleep." How could you be that bold to say that? You know why? The Bible says in Proverbs 26:2, "Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest." You cannot curse. I'm blessed. No devil in hell can curse God's people. Say all you want to say. Brother Shambach said, how many of you know who R.W. Shambach was? He used to say, "You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God." This woman says, "Look, he loved chocolate pie." He says, "I'm fixing you a chocolate pie," because he would eat them. And she says, "I'm going to put poison, and I'm going to put everything in it that's going to kill you." And Shambach said, "Look, I don't care. Bring it to me." He said, "Because you can't kill me, because I am blessed of God, and I love chocolate pie, and I pray over everything I eat." Come on, somebody. You pray over your food. Sometimes you say, "I bind every devil in this food in the name of Jesus," and then eat it, and it's all good, right? I tell you, when you're blessed of God, you are blessed. There are self-inflicted curses that you can curse yourself with. Genesis 24 and 5, idolatry. When you start putting anything ahead of God, and good golly, Miss Molly, we're doing that in this new generation. Proverbs 17:13, crooked business deals can bring a curse. Deuteronomy 27:16, you dishonor your father and mother, cursed. He who steals, cursed. Anti-Semitism, you hate the Jewish people, cursed. When you don't tithe, these are self-inflicted. You curse yourself. James 3:10 said, your own words curse you. That's the doctrine of Balaam. When you walk out of this building right here, you can either say, "I'm going to be blessed for the rest of my life," or "I'm going to be cursed." The devil can't curse you. And how does he do it? He makes you use your own words to curse your own self. "Oh, I can't do that." You know? The Jewish people say, "My children, you are so blessed." The Gentiles call their kids stupid. We have no idea what we're saying. Sometimes they are stupid. But we just need to get the belt out. You know, you don't cast the devil out of your children. You beat the devil out of them. Come on, somebody. We had a rule in our house. I gave them two licks because I didn't want to hurt my children. But I gave them two licks. Unless they lied to me, I went by the road because we lived in the country. And then I'd give them three or four licks. Let me tell you something. You curse your own self because the devil can't curse you. That's why I don't watch a lot of the news. I don't care. I'm going to stay blessed. Let me help you right quick, and I'm closing. How to invoke the blessing of God in your life. It is just so simple. You just got to believe. Mark 9:23, if you can, Jesus says, believe that is, everything is possible for him who believes. I mean, it's the first step of faith. You just got to believe it. What are you believing God for in your life? Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You just heard it. What are you believing for? God will answer your prayers. Can I get an amen? Give me a better amen. You just got to believe it. It's just so simple. Believe. And I'm telling you, you're on your way to walking in the supernatural blessing. Then it's receiving it. If you can believe it, then you can receive it. The parable of the sower, you know. And these are they which have sown on good ground, such as hear the word, what? Receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. In other words, you just accept the message of God. You receive it. It's like a quarterback throwing a pass to a receiver. All he does is receive the ball. You just need to receive God's blessing in your life. Believe the word of God. Watch what Mark 11:23-24. Watch how he spells out how to walk in faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he saith, what shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you believe when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Notice how many times it uses the word believing twice, and I think it's four times it says if you'll say it. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. Come on, somebody. Then you got to expect it. Remember the story of the lame man they brought to the temple every day at 9 o'clock in the morning? Alms for the poor. Give me some money. Give me some money. Pastor and I were talking last night about this particular thing. They brought him to the temple every day to beg from his birth. Why didn't the church help him? They weren't. It got to the point where Peter and John saw him. He said, can I have some money? He said, let me tell you what I have. I don't have any money. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says when he asked them, he was expecting to receive something from them. He didn't know what he was going to get, but he was expecting something. And the Bible said, reached up and grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up, and he began to run, jump, leap, and praise God. When's the last time you got so blessed that you just got the Holy Ghost leaps? Have you been leaping lately? That's the question. If you want to experience, or you're going to experience more of God's favor, you've got to live favor-minded. The way you live favor-minded, you just expect to get that big piece of catfish in the Piccadilly line. I have the anointing to get the best parking lot in the whole mall's parking space. I'm just got the favor of God. I expect to get blessed. Does that sound like cocky or proud? I don't want that to sound like that. But I expect God to bless me because I know God loves me. He has crowned me with favor. I'm not arrogant. I'm just blessed. As children of God, we can live with confidence and boldness, believing God for good things. Come on, somebody. Last thing, declare it over your life. Declare God's favor and blessings on your life. Words have power, and when you declare it, you release the favor of God in your life. Come on. Philippians 4:19, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us by Christ Jesus. Now, glory be to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. Words have power. God, I am a fanatic about that right now. Let me tell you what I've done before. You know, they say confession is good for the soul, but bad for the reputation. I'm late. I do a message for Sunday, and I tell my wife, this will be in the history of man, of every preacher that's ever preached, the worst message anybody could ever preach. That's what I would say. She'd say, Scott, it's probably going to be the best. I'd get in the car. I'd start driving to church thinking, and by the time I got to church, I start trying to confess it my way out into a great message. And you know what? God would just take it and turn it around and bless the message. Words are so powerful. We release faith. God wants to assist you. He does it through your word. You believe it. You receive it. You expect it. And then you declare it. So here's the deal. This all works, okay? What you going to do after you get so blessed? What you going to do with it? When you start getting all these blessings coming your way. God didn't bless you just so for you to hoard it in. The Bible says, talked about the man, I'll just build me some bigger barns. You're going to get blessed. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to leave today, you're going to start to see the blessing. Look, I'm guaranteeing you this. You live what I just taught you today, you're going to start getting blessed. Financially, your health, I mean your relationship. You're going to start seeing the hand of God over your life because now your eyes have been opened to knowledge, and knowledge is powerful. But then what are you going to do with it? You're going to buy you a new house? I'm not against a new home. That's cool. But I'm just saying, there's a reason God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing. You're gonna have a choice to make now, but now because you've got it. I was in the Dream Team restaurant. I would join the Dadgum Dream Team. I'd tell you right now because they've got some good food in there. Here's the deal. If I was telling my church, I would say it like this. You're just going to come to church? No. What are you going to do at church? I'm going to use my ability, talents. I'm going to do something. I park a car, hand out, you know, the bulletin. I'm going to do something. I'm not just going to come to church. I'm going to be a part of the church. I'm going to work children's ministry. And whatever it takes, I'm going to be a part of the church. I'm going to be a blessing to Life Church. Come on, are you getting this? Would you bow your head with me a moment? To qualify, you got to be a believer. And to be a believer, it's the simplest process in the world. It's words that you say. When you mean it, Jesus means it. Is there anybody in this room, no one's looking around, that you'd put your hand up and say, Pastor, you know what? I got a lot of religion, but I really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there one person in the room today who would say, you're talking to me. I want this relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to walk in the power and the blessings of God. Just lift your hand up. Okay, anyone else would lift their hand and say, that's me, Pastor. Okay, God bless you, sister. God bless you in the back. Yeah, who else would say, that's me. I want a relationship with Jesus. I don't want religion. Anybody else would say that? God bless you, honey. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life as Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you are alive, that God has raised you from the dead. So I confess with my mouth that I am saved in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout it. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Hey, brother, turn that light back on. I want to bless y'all. Y'all ready to get blessed? Here's the deal. I'm one of the presbyters over the church that gives me delegated authority so I can pray a blessing over you. And I'll tell you, it's going to stick like glue. You ready for it? Come on, stand to your feet right now. Get ready. You're going to get it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting ready to get blessed. Oh, supernaturally blessed. Say, don't mess with me. Give me some space so I can get the blessing of God. You ready for it? Lift up your hands toward heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray the supernatural blessing over every person in this building. I ask you to bless them, Father, with a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, that peace that passes all understanding, God, that everything they lay their hands to would prosper. God, give them this just purpose, this favor, God, with everyone that they meet. Bless their businesses, bless their jobs, God. I ask you to bless their health. God, I ask you to bless them in every area of their life. And now, right now, by faith, we receive the blessing of God. And we declare, I am blessed in the name of Jesus. And everybody say this, I am blessed. Say it three times. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Hallelujah. God bless you, God.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave.